Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact. I got a few of the bad boys with me, like Simon Street. How you doing over there?
Yo!
All right, King Lucky.
Hey, yo.
Yeah. And Matt Michaels.
I saw Chikadon.
Oh, he doesn't speak English.
You better
anymore.
Wipe that off your shit, man. That don't sound right.
Well, with us on our phone line, we have a special guest from FSW, Shogun Jones.
Hey, what's good?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about y'all?
Are we living the life?
Man, I am good. Okay. I am good.
Hey, Shogun, man, this is King Lucky. I'm going to just go ahead and ask you, growing up, were you always a wrestling fan, or is this something that evolved into a love for the business?
I always like watched wrestling. I thought it was hilarious about the storylines and all the stuff that was going on. So yeah, when I was a kid, wrestling has always been in my life.
That's awesome, man. And who was your favorite wrestler? Let's go with then and now.
Then and now, I don't have like one specific wrestler. I have quite a few.
Okay.
But to name a few, I was always a fan of course, The Rock.
Yeah.
I was always a fan of Kane, Undertaker, okay. Rick Rude, a little bit of Ric Flair, just a whole lot. Triple H, Shawn Michaels. I like all the old school guys. And right now, I don't have that many right now, to be honest, because I don't really keep up with the stuff anymore. It's just, I just worry about what I do now.
Yeah, exactly.
But for the guys, like right now, I'm a fan of AJ Styles. I'm a huge fan of Randy Orton.
Yeah.
I love Ricochet. He's incredibly smooth in the ring,
and outside outside the ring too. Apparently,
yeah.
Not the ring, the rim. Yeah, outside the rim.
If y'all don't leave Ricochet, damn.
But that's quite a few that I like right now. I can think of.
Yeah, and so you train at one of the most elite wrestling schools in the country. Who's somebody that you've learned the most from?
The most is, I want to say, Sway Thompson.
Okay.
Yeah. Sway Thompson and Kenny King, obviously.
Nice, nice. And how'd you end up at the doorstep of Future Stars of Wrestling?
Well, it was funny because I used to be a heavyweight boxer.
Nice.
And yeah, and my coach at the time, he'd always tell me like, hey, you know, no matter what you do in life, you know, go follow your dreams. And I was kind of like, well, I love wrestling. He was like, well, go do that then. So one day I just like Googled it, like any wrestling schools in Vegas. And I seen this place called FSW. And I was like, oh, let me take a drive down there. And I went down there and there was nobody there. There was nothing going on. So I'm just like, is this place even open? And I touched the door. And I like, just, I touched the door and like the door like starts opening. I'm like, oh, there's this. You know, there's something's going on in here. So I walk in the door. There's no one inside, like the meeting rooms, in the bathroom or anything. And I walk past to like get into the ring. And the first person I seen in there was Kevin Cross at the time.
Wow.
So I seen this big ass dude. I'm like, damn, what did I just do? You know?
Right, because you're a big dude.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. You
and
big
Kevin's a big dude.
No, Kevin, like when I seen him, it was like about like 2 years ago. So when I seen him at the time, I wasn't this big. So I was kind of like, damn, that's a big ass dude right there. And he's like cutting promos and whatnot. And I'm like asking him questions like, yeah, you know, how does it work here and yada, yada. And from there, he was just telling me what was going on. And like, I want to say about 4 months later, I came back and I signed up. And yeah, here I am now.
Wow. So you boxed. What got you into boxing, and were you pursuing it professionally, or was it something that you, you know, were looking towards, and then you decided, you know, to listen to the advice of trying what you really were passionate about?
It the way that came up was after high school, I started doing martial arts. I started doing like karate and whatnot, and I got to brown belt.
Okay.
And when I got to a brown belt, my sensei at the time, he left to California. And so I was kind of just like left out. I'm like, I still want to fight, but I don't know what to do now because I don't have my sensei anymore. And one day I go to the gym, and one of my homies is like, hey, that guy over there, he's a boxing trainer. Like, you should like go talk to him if you want to go like keep fighting and stuff. I'm like, I never really did boxing. So I was kind of like, just go up to him, just ask him about boxing. He was like, yeah, let's do it. You know, he's having chill and whatnot. I'm like, this is weird. So I go up to him. And we're talking and whatever. He's like naming prices and, you know, competing at this place and whatnot. So I go down there, and like the first day I get down there, we're doing like all this mitt training. We're running. This is going on for like 6 hours on my first day. And I'm just like, dude, I love it. But at the same time, this is like a bitch. And it was like one of those things where I just kept coming back. And from there, I was getting like fights and whatnot. I was getting like a lot of fights that people didn't want to fight me in because the way I looked. So, like, so I got a lot of dropout fights, but that's really how I got into boxing.
For sure. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And you mentioned, you know, when you looked at Cross, he was just massive, right? How inspiring is it for you to see, you know, a couple years ago where he was to where he is now? That's got to be motivation for you.
Oh, yeah, it is. It was like a complete game changer. I'm just like, this dude was just at the school with us, you know, doing, you know, Las Vegas shows and doing out-of-town shows and whatnot. Now he's on Impact. He's in AAA. He's everywhere. And I was
right.
Like, damn, this dude's like flying.
Yeah. And where did the creation of the character Shogun Jones come from?
Funny thing, I was just like, when I went to FSW, you know, they were telling me, you know, you gotta like create a character and, you know, whatnot. So I went home and I just started like thinking of stuff like I could like implement like my martial arts or, you know, but I didn't want it to be like so generic. So at the time when I was like writing down these notes, I'm listening to Wu-Tang Clan. That's, you know, one of my things right there.
Yeah.
So I'm listening to the stuff, right, like writing notes, and I'm just like, huh, I think I could like run something right here. And I'm like, Shogun. I like the name, like Shogun. Like, it took me a while to get the Jones part in, but the Jones part kind of just came from me being black. And I was like, that makes more sense. It sounds black.
Jones is a black man, primarily.
Man, you know what she should have done? He should have like done Shogun like Ichiwawa or something like that.
No, Shogun Leonard. Or Shogun Smith.
Well, I mean,
I thought of like Shogun like Robinson, but I was like, that sounds like ridiculous.
Yeah. No, the Jones fits perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, this is smooth, so I just ran with that.
And the closest you've been to the Orient, like Asia or something like that?
No, I can answer that question. I've heard a story, and I need you to confirm it. All right,
okay,
Jones. So I've heard that you carry around with you a Hattori Hanzo blade. I heard that you went all the way to Japan and you stood on rice with bare feet and you had to hold hot sake with your nipples just to get this Hanzo blade. Can you confirm that story?
A little bit change in that story. I didn't stand on no rice, though. I stand on noodles. But
That's right. Yeah.
So all of it, the rest of it's true then.
The rest of it's true.
Oh, man.
Yeah. He's got the rice part wrong.
Oh, no. You got the rice part wrong.
Okay, so Shogun, you do realize now that anyone from that knows you who's going to listen to this from now on is going to call you Saki Nipples.
I mean, it is what it is.
But You know what, Shogun, it don't matter. You got a Hattori Hanzo blade. They better respect your name.
So. Yeah, put some respect
on
your
name. Mangoes, baby.
Right. That's right.
Hey, you know what? So last month, FSW had the 10th anniversary show. And at that show, you faced, I dare say, your mentor. How surreal was it for you to face Kenny King that night?
it was like, it was really dramatic to me because Kenny King was also like one of the first people I ran into at FSW, and I learned so much from him. So I, at the time, about 2 years ago, I was kind of like, man, I can't wait to like have a match with him like later on down, like down the road. And I'm sitting there thinking like, you know, like 6 years down the road, maybe I'll get as good as him or be able to face him. And next thing I know, I'm like, it's barely even 2 years. I'm like, I'm facing Kenny. I'm facing my teacher. That's crazy as hell to me.
Yeah.
Like, it took me so long to like fathom that.
And what was it like working a house like that too? Because that was one of the biggest houses that, you know, Samstown has held for FSW. And, you know, one of the reasons that all those people were there is because of the talent on the card, and that includes yourself. What was it like wrestling for those fans?
One, I couldn't really believe it because I'm sitting there like, man, I'm on this card. You know, I see all these people here. And just to think back where I was just like really just a fan, just sitting there watching these guys do these things. And I'm like, I'm about to go down this ramp, hit this entrance, and go against my teacher. That just sounds crazy to me. And then when I seen all the people, I was like, man, there's a lot of people here. But as soon as Candy came out, I zoned in just right on him. Like, I didn't notice the crowd at that point. I'm like, it's just me and him. We're about to go.
Man, you guys tore down the house, too. I'll tell you, it was a hell of a match. And your intro mm-hmm. was pretty sick, too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Dude, I got to ask you, you know, how does Kenny feel about your Instagram saying the man that whooped Kenny King's ass at the 10-year anniversary?
Let's just say he ain't digging that.
Yeah, it might be a rematch in the near future, huh?
Oh, most definitely. It's happening. I told him, like, we're having a rematch, and whether you like it or not, it's happening. It's going down.
So let me ask you, you know, you mentioned you watch a lot of the product. If you had to, is there a dream match out there that you're like, man, this person matches up well with my skills? Who would that person be?
Rob Van Dam.
Ooh. Wow.
Just right off the rip.
Huh. Man. You know, Rob Van Dam's going to, you know, come hang out with us.
Yep. At a live show.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
You know, let him know what I said then.
Or you could let him know.
You could show up.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to find him first.
Yeah, you could.
We're going to give him to you.
You could pull up. We'll be at Boulder Station on the 29th.
Yeah, bro. Come through. Man, bring the Hanzo blade.
No, I'll pull up, dog. I'm known for pulling up on people.
That's so awesome. You know what? Hey, you know, Shogun, tell us a little bit about, you know, the early years with you growing up. You know, where are you from? You know what I mean? What was it like being, you know, little young Shogun Jones?
Y'all not going to believe this little story I'm about to tell y'all, but I'm going to let y'all know. My parents are from Haiti, okay?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Parlez-vous français?
Yes. Okay. I was born on the U.S. ship going to Brooklyn, New York.
No
way. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I was born on the ship.
That is crazy.
That's really amazing.
Yeah, so I was born on the ship heading to Brooklyn, New York, and I lived there for about 3 years of my life before we moved here in Vegas with my mom's sister and my aunt.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. So yeah. So you're a Haitian New Yorker Vegas like lifer.
I want to say a Haitian, Cuban, because I was born on the U.S. ship, but I was in Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like a Haitian, Cuban, American, Las Vegas native beast.
Damn.
What inspired the whole Shogun gimmick in terms of the outfit? Where do you get the garb, man? Because that's some serious shit.
Sick. And the hat, too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge fan of anime, so I kind of pick apart, like, from my, like, favorite animes, like Luxon, like, hat. And the hat actually came from Mortal Kombat when I was playing Raiden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so I'm playing Raiden, and I'm just like, man, I can hella get this hat. And I'm like, I'm gonna run it. So I got the hat, and then everything else just kind of just came up, came all together, you know.
Well, can I dare say, Shogun, when I first saw you, first thing popped in my head, I said, this, well, first of all, I was like, this big boy right here, because you tall, man. he's straight out of Afro Samurai. Like, I was like, I was like, man, he could have been a character right out there, ready to face Afro Samurai and whoop some ass.
Oh, yeah, but I thought about that, but I was kind of like, I don't want to sit there and mimic somebody else. I just want
to do your own thing.
No, I wouldn't say I wasn't saying you was gonna be Afro Samurai. You look like somebody that was gonna whoop his ass.
Oh yeah, I should be saying that.
And then you know, growing up, were your parents supportive of you wanting to follow this dream of being a wrestler? You know, once you made your decision.
No. I grew up without my biological dad, so it was just really. Just me and my mom.
Okay.
And growing up, my mom always wanted me to be, you know, like a nurse or a doctor. You know, she always wanted me in the medical field. Huh. The moment she found out I was doing combat training, and then next thing you know, I'm becoming a wrestler, she's like, "What in the hell are you doing?" I'm just like, "This is what I want to do." And she's not against the fact that I'm following my dreams, but she wanted me to be like just straight. You know, Grey's Anatomy status.
That's crazy.
Could you see yourself right now, like, you know, paging Dr. Shogun, Dr. Shogun Jones?
I could see him performing surgery with that Hanzo blade.
The Hanzo blade.
Yeah, I'm about to open up this motherfucker right here.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, with that and growing up with just your mom as your single influence in the household, what would you say was probably the biggest gift she ever gave you in terms of like advice that you know, live by every day?
To this day, she still tells me, like, always go after what you want, and no one can ever tell you you can't have something. So that's what I go by every day.
Nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. And you said you moved this way with your mom and your aunt. Is your aunt still in Vegas?
Yeah, she's still in Vegas, but she don't get along with my mom, so that's like a whole different situation.
Oh. Yeah, I totally understand. I had aunts and uncles once, and they, you know, same type of
you
thing.
You don't see them no more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with that.
So in terms of her being your base, does she come out to watch you wrestle?
Oh, yeah. She loves watching me wrestle. Like, awesome. She's against the fact that, like, I'm out there, like, wrestling, because she's thinking, like, she'd, like, be a doctor. But when she's, like, at the show, she's like, "Go, Shogun! Kick his ass!" You know, she's all up in it. And I hear her, too. I'm just like...
Now, I did hear...
Head, I'm like, oh, jeez.
Now, your mom was at the FSW 10th year anniversary, correct?
Yes.
Because I did hear a woman screaming extra loud, and I'm assuming it was your mom. Because she was standing up. She was very vocal.
I can't tell you that, because there's quite a few female fans out
there. Oh, there it is.
I was saying in the sense of I could kind of tell she took, like, she knew you personally. But then again, you the Shogun. So, you know, it's probably a lot of women that personally know you, you know.
Nah, I can tell you it's probably some random chick that's digging it, you know what I'm saying?
So she wasn't the one who was showing the puppies?
No.
Or the one female that had to be escorted because instead of throwing a streamer, she was throwing some panties.
Hey, it'd be like that sometimes.
Hey, it's a wild. It was a wild environment that night.
It
man.
Was.
I'll tell you.
Oh, I know.
Is it hard getting used to that? Like, you know, going from a couple of years ago, just being relatively unknown, if you will, to now being, you know, because FSW is very prominent in Las Vegas, to now being recognized.
It is different. I can tell you that it's a whole different level to me. I'm still to this day, like, absorbing everything that's going on with FSW and the fan base, everything that's going on. I'm sitting there just like trying to just get everything in, but I'm still just figuring it out.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
So, Shogun, you know, what are some things that, you know, outside of your transformation and your movement into this business, what are some other things that you pursue outside of the ring? I know you said that wrestling is a huge part of what you grew up with and you're a huge fan. And you also have background in boxing and in martial arts. But what are some other things that you kind of pursue?
I kind of want to pursue acting.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that. Yeah,
that's been a thing in my life. Like, I always thought about doing like TV shows, like not like necessarily movies, but being like a sitcom TV show. You know, just something small, but I always picture myself doing something like that.
Okay.
Well, let's see, you know, there's always a chance that you could go on one of the dancing competition shows, because I hear that you are quite a hip hop dancer.
Yeah. They're not ready for that.
They're not ready for it, huh?
They're not ready to see a 6'5 dude just go on, man, and start how does, and killing the game.
Yeah, man, 6'5", and you out there moving. Like, you know, I've seen a couple of videos because we have a friend that actually teaches classes at that studio, and I'm like, man, you are killing it.
that was a while back, but yeah, just I'm like the new Montel Jordan.
This is how we do it.
Yeah, because that brother could dance. He was big as hell.
He sure was. And then when you let me ask you this: when you're not wrestling, what are some things you like to do to just unwind and relax?
I like to just I like to meditate a lot.
Okay, awesome.
I like to read certain books, like motivational books. I like to do that. If I'm not like in the gym, like lifting or whatnot, I'm usually at the house hanging out with my dog, reading a book or doing yoga, or just like listen to like 90s hip hop, because I'm a huge fan of like New York, like gangstar kind of music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like stuff like that.
Man, when you always working out. What's your favorite cheat meal?
My favorite cheat meal? Oh, man. I like to go. I don't really have like a crazy ass cheat meal, but I tend to go to Texas Del Brazil and just ball out on the
wheel. Wow.
Yeah. There it is. That's where you can like really find me. Like if you're trying to like find Shogun, it's like he's gonna be at Texas Del Brazil like sometime this week.
Man, there's a lot of Texas Del Brazil here, but in Texas we went to Texas Del Brazil and it was downtown Dallas. And okay. There's definitely a different, I don't know what it is, but it's definitely different from the one here to the one in Dallas. You got to check that out.
In Dallas, right?
Yeah, in Dallas.
Yeah, I would have to run through that.
Yeah, we went there. We went to WrestleMania 32, which was in Dallas. And when we went there, we usually do this nice little dinner, and we did the Texas Day Brazil there, and it was very good, very well done. Not to say that the one here isn't good, but there was something different about that one.
Now you're telling me that I got to go over there and get that now.
Right, exactly.
I got to run through that now.
Yeah, now, we got to get you booked in Dallas now.
There you go. Get you booked in Dallas. Get the meat sweats.
As part of his writer, it's got to be like Texas Day Brazil.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, I got to get out there.
What's your favorite thing to do in Vegas when you are looking for something?
What's that?
What is your favorite thing to do in Vegas when you're looking for something to do, like nightlife?
Wait, what was that? What you saying?
In Vegas, what's your favorite thing to do in terms of like nightlife?
That's kind of hard to say because I'm a bouncer in nightlife and day clubs too.
Oh, there you go.
I know that.
So yeah, probably when you're done with that, you probably just want to be done with it, and you don't want to see that, right?
Most of the time, until like you know somebody wants to hang out,
friends
like,
come to town, or
yeah,
you know, just like if somebody's down, like hang out, I'm with it. But for the most part, I tend to just I'm done with this. I'm going home.
So, what strip club do you bounce at?
Oh, I'm working at
He had to throw it out there because you know we are
not the
bad
Sapphire
boys.
Day pool.
No, we ain't doing no strip club.
Your mama really?
Yeah,
not
what would mama say? Yeah,
my mom would honestly. She wouldn't really care. She just nod like this dude.
She probably like be careful. Be careful. Them girls got the rabies out here.
No, she's always telling me that.
That's funny.
Hey, Mama know what's up.
Let me ask you. So you've traveled a little bit for wrestling, I assume, right?
Yeah.
What's the favorite place that you've been to outside of, obviously, Vegas when you travel to town?
I'm going to say I like doing shows in California.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
why. I like doing shows in California, and for like some reason, the Arizona crowd, they kind of just dig me, so I kind of like going out there, too.
Yeah, dude, I will tell you right now, Cali, Las Vegas, and Arizona is like the newest hotbed for wrestling.
I feel it.
It is crazy. We might be going out to Arizona soon, and it is a hotbed for wrestling. Like, there's so many organizations out there.
And it's hot as hell.
Yeah.
It's like came out of nowhere.
Yeah. Right.
It's true. So, you know, Shogun, what is, you know, if you had to have a match with anybody, it doesn't matter what promotion, it doesn't matter past or present, you know, what would be your dream match?
Dream match of, like, right now?
Yeah, dream match right now. Past, present, doesn't matter what promotion, someone that you want to face.
Straight up, Randy Orton.
Randy Orton. All right.
What is it that it catches your eye with Orton that makes you such a fan of his?
Is the way he moves in the ring. Is it that's the thing that always caught me? Just the way he moves, and if anything, like if I could wrestle him and Eddie Guerrero, it'd be on.
Oh, ooh, yeah,
right on.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, just, I think everything that I can kind of relate, I'm not a wrestler, but I can relate because Orton during the Ruthless Aggression era was my favorite out of him and John Cena. But it's because everything that he does is with a purpose.
Yes.
And so it's just so good. He's so, I mean, you know what? It's interesting that, you know, you train with Cross because I can see the parallels between an Orton and a Cross for how good they are with like promos and moves.
Oh yeah.
Well, you know, I will tell you this. You say you're gonna, you know, your dream match is with Randy Orton, okay? Do you think you could have a match with Randy Orton and escape the RKO? Do you think that you have a counter for him?
And
you can't pull out the Hanzo blade. Yeah. You can't pull out the Hanzo blade and just cut him up.
I can't use the blade.
Use the blade, bro. That's after the match.
No match. Choppy pee-pee.
Yeah.
If I would have a match with him and he tried to give me an RKO, I already got a reversal for that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I thought about that a long time ago.
So would you call it the OKR?
The OKR? No. No, I wouldn't call it. I don't know what I would call it.
You know, what is it in the ring that you find is your favorite way to plan out a match? Do you like to go in there, because you're starting to get a little more experience now, do you like to go in there and have it a little more planned out in terms of, you know, the style matchup, or are you still, you know, under that that younger, you know, wrestler where you're listening to a veteran basically call the shots?
It kind of really depends. Like when I had my match with Kenny, it was more of like, you know, he's the vet.
Yeah,
I'm gonna listen to him. You know, that's I trust him. That's my dude.
Right.
But everything else, like, just wrestling in general, I like to just go in there, because when we plan things out, you know, when you plan things out, it doesn't really go as planned.
Yeah.
So I like to just like go on a whim, and I like to study my opponent, you know, what they do, and I'll like think of like placements and like, okay, I know you do this and I'll do that so we can place this. But for the most part, it's like, all right, I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna beat the hell out of you, and you know, when the time's time to go, it's time to go.
Right.
Yeah, so it's more of like just calling in the ring.
And with that, you sometimes get opportunities, like when you tagged with Damian Drake, you guys got to face Pillman Jr. and Jack Evans.
Yeah.
What is it about getting the chance to face guys who aren't necessarily from the California, the Vegas, the Arizona area? Because you don't get to see a lot of those guys coming through all the time. Is it a different sense? I mean, you guys really held your own. It was a great showing.
Oh yeah, it was definitely different because I've never faced anybody I've never faced anybody with those kind of names.
Yeah.
So for one, I was kind of like taken back. I'm like, well, I can't punk out in this one. I gotta go forward with this. And that match in particular, it was really funny because we tried to like call everything in the back. And we literally didn't do anything recall. Like everything just went south, and we're just like, we're just going.
Poetry in motion.
Yeah, but working those guys, it definitely gave me like an extreme confidence boost because I did my thing, you know, with my man Damian Drake. We did it.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was very impressive. You know, that's one of the things when you start seeing the little things that are being done, it shows that you're growing. And that's, you know, when you can hold your own with those guys, it's really impressive. And when the fans are buying it, that's the biggest thing, man. Mm-hmm. The fans they really react to you very well. And I think, you know, if you're, you know, in that case, you guys were pretty much the heels.
Yeah.
And the fans were into it. They were, you know, giving you guys shit, which was great. But you as a face, the fans love you here in Vegas. So it's excellent. I think you're getting a nice little taste and you're broadening out your horizons. Do you see yourself wanting to be in, let's say, a New Japan, an AEW, WWE? What is your like outlook? What is your goals?
My goals is, to be honest, my goals is just to be a wrestler and get paid for it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the ultimatum right there. But if I could be with a certain company, I would choose New Japan.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
I think that would fit me.
Yeah, it'd be closer to the, you know, get another Hanzo blade.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what? Hey, I'm going to give you a little bit of advice. When you do go out to New Japan, do not bring Michaels as a translator. Just want to tell you that right now. Do not have him be your translator. He will have your Hanzo blade put back, not in the sheath, but in your ass.
I'm learning by myself. Yeah. I don't need that.
You're way better doing it that way, bro. I'm just to let you know.
Man, I take you to Japan. We're going to get you laid.
Speaking of laid.
It happens now.
Hold on. Speaking of laid.
He might have went with Shogun Johnson.
No.
That's the alias.
So Shogun, speaking of laid, well, I want to ask you a question, man. You know, a lot of y'all young cats, y'all are doing a great job over at FSW. I've had an opportunity right after the show to be with the Bad Boys talking. I see you pop out, and all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of groupies, like, headed towards you. And I seen it. And they all ages. They mamas and daughters.
You know it.
What is some of the craziest stuff the new groupies, the new Shogun groupies have tried to do to you?
Oh, boy. He wants rat stories. Here we go.
I've never asked this question because Shogun's the first one.
Oh, man. You're the guinea pig, Shogun.
I haven't had nothing wild, but I've had a chick approach me. You know, she's talking to me. You know, we're just shooting shit. And, you know, she like DMs me like the next day and she's like still talking to me. I'm like, who is this person? Like, I need to get some information. So I'm like looking through her Instagram, like, okay, this chick is single. Like, she looks like, to me, I was like, she looks young. I can't pinpoint it. I'm like, you know, I'm just like, I take a step back. I'm like, how old are you? And she's like, I'm 14. I'm like,
oh shit, man! You better hit the red button on that one, boy.
Oh, man.
After that, I just deleted the conversation.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Hey, nah, we gonna get the stiff arm out there now.
Hey, Shogun, you a smart man. She was looking to find a mentor that'll put her in a locked room with a bucket in the corner. You lucked out, my brother. No. You lucked out.
Man.
She was like one of those chicks where it was like, because I work in the industry and I know like, okay, who's old enough, and I can just pinpoint like people's ages. And I'm like talking to her. And I'm looking at her face. I'm like, this chick looks mad young. Like, something's wrong here. And I just had to, like, ask her. And then she told me that. I'm like, yeah, no, we're going
to. Oh, where's your mom? Where's your mom?
That is crazy.
We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to start asking that question on a regular basis because I'll be honest with you, I was not expecting that that response. But, yeah. I mean, but it's got to be crazy, you know, coming into that now to where, you know, you have fans. Is there any fan that's come up to you and say, you know what, Shogun, I look up to you. You are like my hero. You are my guy.
It's happened to me like, I want to say like twice, because most of the time I don't go out and hang out with fans because that's just not what I do. Mm-hmm. But if I go, like, if I'm like walking in the parking lot, you know, someone's going to catch me. So I was like, I think it was at Sam's Town. I think I went to the Panic Express over there after the show. I'd like dodged all the fans, and I'm sitting there, and this kid came up to me and he was like, hey, are you the Shogun? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I'm not trying to have this conversation right now. And this dude was like, I want to be just like you when I grow up. And I was kind of like, oh. I'm like, what's your name? And he like tells me his name. And I'm just like having this, like, this little conversation with this kid. And he's like, just like, you can see like the glaze in this dude's eye. Like, he's just like he's just stunned by me. And I'm just like, you want to take a picture and everything? Oh. He's like, yeah, you know. He's like, can you sign like my shirt and everything? He's like, he starts getting all wild with it. He's like, thank you so much, Shogun. It's like dipped out to his mom. I'm like, damn.
Dude, you gotta live for stuff like that, man. That's gotta be, you know, an awesome feeling.
It is, but you know, me being a heel, I'm just like not trying to interact
with right, yeah. Right, right.
You know,
keep it on the low. Keep it on the low. Better hide that picture.
I'm like, don't post that anywhere. Just keep it in your room or whatever.
Right.
You know, but yeah, that's happened to me like a couple times.
So, Shogun, you have dabbled in a little basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your team?
I'm a Lakers fan.
Hell yes. Yeah. All right. Yes. Hold on. Time out. Real Lakers yes. fan or a LeBron Laker fan? Because we have someone at the table that's a LeBron Laker fan.
Cut it. That's impact.
Oh, you just going to throw him under the rug.
I'm
going to
say I'm a Kobe Laker fan.
See, yeah, all right. That was my man. My man.
Yeah,
finally.
That was the next question.
Finally.
Kobe, LeBron, or Jordan?
Kobe.
Kobe, yeah.
You know what?
Kobe.
Shogun, me and you we going to have to hang out, man. We got a lot in common, bro. We got a lot in common.
I mean, we not going to have no pineapples on pizza, right?
No.
Wait a minute, man.
It ain't that type of party. We ain't doing none of that.
Shogun, wait a minute, bro. Wait a minute now.
Oh, boy.
You know.
King Lucky likes soggy things on his bread, but I don't.
Wait a minute, bro. What? Hey, don't try to play
with
me
with a little
like
bit
that,
of flavor. Right?
Don't try to play me like that.
Is that not what pineapple hey, listen, does to pizza? I'm
just saying. Because, and listen, Shogun, let me tell you something, man. These guys gave me a hard time like a couple episodes ago about jelly donuts. And you know what? One of our loyal listeners, when we had our live show, brought a dozen of jelly donuts to the show.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, man. You know what I'm saying? So these guys, they try to bash me a whole lot, but
they ain't bashing you, bro. It's not how it's not that you eat jelly donuts. It's how you was eating the jelly donuts.
Speaking of, Shogun,
you eating it funny now.
Shogun, let me tell you something. This guy right here, man, he trying to
say my name. Say my name.
I ain't saying your
name. Say my name.
You ain't a woman. I ain't gonna say your name.
Say my name.
All right. So Shogun, speaking of that, is there something that a fan has ever like given you? Is there something that is, you know, because fans are really good a lot of times, and they'll take care of, you know, you by bringing something like donuts or, you know, giving you a memento. Is there anything that anyone's ever done for you?
I've had people just make fan art for me, but since I dodge a lot of fans, I don't really like interact with them. I don't really get anything.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because we kind of just went through this real quick. You say you're a Lakers fan.
Mm-hmm.
You got to feel good about what happened this year in free agency.
Yeah.
AD, and then now we filled out the rest of the roster with some great pieces. What do you think is going – how do we finish this year?
To be honest, honestly, I don't think we're going to win the championships this year, but I know we're going to go deep into the finals. I know that for a fact.
Man, who's going to stop us?
Man, Clippers. I don't know.
Clippers ain't going to do it.
You don't think Clippers going to do it?
Clippers might get on this for a
second. No, listen, listen, man. Just because they got Kawhi and just because they got Paul George, that don't mean nothing.
Man. It
don't, but you never know, bro.
Yeah, man. I'll tell you. You know what? I'm not worried about the Clippers because they don't have an answer for AD. Then you don't have an answer for Bron playing at point guard, right? Mm-hmm. Kuzma going to light it up. So we got options. Yeah. We go at least about 7 or 8 deep in the options.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I give you that.
We got 3-point shooters this year.
Yeah. So what happens if, and this is something that was brought up today that was very interesting. What happens if LeBron and AD both have injuries this season?
I feel like we can hold our own for only like the time being. I don't think we can execute without those two.
Yeah
True,
like that. Straight up, I don't think we could just do that.
That's fair Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, let me shoot to this because you gave us an oh shit moment a few minutes ago, but Simon Street has a oh shit segment.
All right,
Simon Street, set it up.
So, because you're the Shogun, I'm gonna normally I sell the segment before I have you do it, but because you're the Shogun, I'm gonna try something a little bit new with you. All right, so so oh great and powerful Shogun, this next segment is a segment of many times in your journey with your Hanzo blade, where you have encountered many a villages. At what point have you ever witnessed or seen some sort of situation that instead of unsheathing your blade and cutting a motherfucker in half, you simply looked and said, oh, shit, Shogun Jones, please tell us your tale of an oh, shit moment.
I can't give you that information right now.
I understand, but sir, I have someone who wants to hear the story.
Who wants to hear the story of the Shogun having an oh shit moment?
Yes, sir.
I can't give you that information. Sorry, sensei.
Secret.
So sorry, sir. So sorry. So sorry.
So sorry. I can't give you that answer right now. But later on down the road, maybe.
There you go.
There is no problem, but I appreciate you throwing it out there. Instead of an oh shit moment, how about you tell us what is the next opponent that you would like to face?
That I would like to face. I don't have one opponent. I have several.
Go down the list.
Tell it.
Right now here at FSW, I'm looking for Sepa Fatu.
Oh.
All right.
Damn.
All right.
He has a target on his head. Chris Bay still has a target on his head.
Oh.
And Hammerstone has a target on his head.
Oh, man. That's a
white jeans.
That's a big list.
The white jeans you'd be wearing. That's a huge target.
my man is big, but I don't think he can stop me.
Right.
True that.
So, yeah, these are people that have targets on their heads.
Whew. Wow.
Yeah. Well,
let me make sure I hear that list one more time. That was Chris Bay.
Yep.
Okay.
Hammerstone.
Uh-huh.
And give me the last one.
Sepa Fatu.
Sepa Fatu.
That's going to be a problem.
The problem.
It definitely is going to be a problem.
Mm.
It might be the problem, but baby, I'm the solution.
Ooh.
Boom.
Ooh.
Boom.
There it is.
Better oil up that blade. You're gonna have to be cutting up that problem.
Awesome.
Yeah, his name's all over that blade right now. But you know, I'm coming after these guys. I can't tell you guys when, but
yeah,
they have money on their heads.
Mm.
Nice. Ooh, I think I'm gonna have to text Sepa.
You know, we're gonna call that.
Text him.
Hey, we're gonna call that now the Shogun's bounty.
There you go.
Boom.
If you get a shirt, just give me a free one. That's all I ask. The Shogun's bounty with the list.
You
and you could cross it off like Kill Bill. Yeah. Every time you get one.
I'm about to hashtag that.
Yeah, that's
just,
be, that's
just hashtag dope. Simon Street. That's all I ask.
Yeah, I got you, bro.
Shogun, man, thank you, man, for your time and everything. Can you just tell us what events you have coming up?
Events, of course, I got the FSW show that's going on, I think, the 20th.
There's, yeah.
There's that one. I'm doing a AWF. I can't remember the date, but that's next month in August.
Okay.
I might be doing Cactus League Wrestling. I'm not sure. We're working that out. And Z-Lot has contacted me. Oh, so wow. I'm doing that. And I just did a show for Championship Wrestling from Arizona this past Saturday. And yeah, I think they're hopefully they're bringing me back for the next thing. But that's what's going on right now.
Okay. And mm-hmm. how can folks reach you on your social medias?
The best way to reach me on social media is just through IG, because going through Facebook and like Twitter, I don't really like get on those, or Snapchat. So IG is where it's at right now.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Shogun, man, thanks for your time, man. We have fun tonight.
Anytime, man.
Definitely, man.
You deserve this applause right here, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Vegas. Bad Boys. Of podcasting. Holding you down since day one. January 2019.
The hottest podcast in the universe.
There's like 1,000 podcasts.
Vegas Bad Boys Day One. Say.
Different. Thoughts. Outrageous.
Interview.
Exciting.
Interesting.
Intriguing.
Amazing.
Funny. Intergalactic.
Bad Boys.
If you haven't listened to all of our podcasts, take a listen of what you might have missed. JTG.
Shad and I. Shad was the big guy. Is it the same size? One is a little bit fatter, right?
Yeah.
One is cut. Yeah. One is kind of like pudgy.
Yeah, that's Angelo. Oh,
yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of similar to me, Shad. Yeah, I'm kind of like the...
Al Snow.
Well, yeah, I did. I actually wrote a book. I also, just so you guys know, I do magic for the blind.
Wow.
It's my way of giving back to the community, yeah. You know. It's, let me tell you. It's like, it's like, is this your card? And it's like, I don't know. And you're like, it is. Ta-da. And I'm like, oh my God, I do it.
Jeff Cobb.
You know, I don't plan to wrestle into my late 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s. Like, you know. And, but, you know, again, I say that now, but...
Right.
it's like the weirdest addiction ever, you know? Like,
yeah, we know. Be Brian Blair.
All of a sudden, I look in the mirror and Terry's, you know, spanking his Woody on top of the back of Coco's ass. With his pants ripped, and I'm going, oh my gosh, man, we're going to prison.
Vicky Guerrero.
You know, you are definitely, in our minds, a Hall of Famer. Because...
I'll give you $5 later, guys.
Theo Landers.
How do you guys do this? Are you guys in like a recording studio, or are you guys in a home studio?
Hey, you don't contact WWE Creative and ask them how they write Raw, do you?
We're
all in a bathroom.
We're in a right bathroom. Yeah, we're in a bathhouse. We're
in
a
bathtub.
You're all in a bathhouse.
RVD.
If I hit a squirrel with my car, it would totally ruin my day. I mean, I would like, I'd get out of the car and I'd try to save it, you know. And
Selena De La Renta.
When you say Selena at work, Selena in real life, it's about the same. It's a preparation for my everyday life. It's about the same, my preparation for MLW. The only thing is I need twice the amount of makeup and probably tighter dresses. But
Nick Aldis.
I do love Vegas, and you know what's funny is that, like, the first time I went was actually for TNA when I debuted at the Main Event Mafia. I'd never been to Vegas before then.
Wow.
But in many ways, it's really the showbiz capital of America.
Yep.
You know, like, there's so much show business going on there all the time. I just love that vibe.
Vegas Bad Boys, a podcast, has over 50 interviews, and they keep on coming. Make sure you subscribe. Keep listening. Write a review about our podcast. Come to our live events.
Participate in our contest, like our social media, and most importantly, tell all your family and friends about us. We're Vegas born, and we are
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.